Welcome to Mythical, the podcast that explores the dark and fantastical pages of fairy tales, legends, and myths from around the world. This season, we're taking a look at the fairy tales of the Brothers Grimm. In today's episode, I'll be reading and commenting on Cinderella.
I'm the narrator, and I'll begin, as all good stories should, with Once Upon a Time.
Once upon a time, there was a rich man who lived happily with his wife for a long time, and they had one little girl together. Then the wife became ill, and as she became deathly ill, she called her daughter and said,
"Dear child, I must leave you, but when I am up in heaven, I shall look after you. Plant a little tree on my grave, and whenever you wish for something, shake it, and you'll have what you wish. And whenever you are otherwise in a predicament, then I'll send you help. Just stay good and pure."
After this, she closed her eyes and died. Her child wept and planted a little tree on her grave and didn't need to water it, for her tears were good enough. The snow covered the mother's grave like a little white blanket, and by the time the sun had taken it off again and the little tree had become green for the second time, the man had married a second wife. Look at that. Parallels. Second and second. However, the stepmother already had two daughters. Look at that, another two. Grimm brothers knew what they were doing with these numbers. However, the stepmother already had two daughters from her first husband. They had beautiful features, but proud, nasty, and wicked hearts. After the wedding had now been celebrated, and all three entered the house, a difficult time began for the poor child.
"What's this terrible and useless thing doing in our rooms?" the stepmother said. "Off with you into the kitchen. Whoever wants to eat bread must first earn it. She can be our maid."
The stepsisters took away her clothes and dressed her in an old gray smock.
"You look good in that,"
they said, while mocking her and leading her to the kitchen, where the poor child had to do heavy work. She had to get up before dawn, carry the water into the house, make the fire, cook, and wash. Where's her dad during this time? I mean, he's not dead. He hasn't disappeared. Well, he has disappeared. I mean, he hasn't gone away. He's just gone. I mean, his dad has to know what's going on. But he's just not doing anything about it? We'll see if he shows up, but this is a terrible father. Meanwhile, her sisters did everything imaginable to cause her grief and make her look ridiculous. They poured peas and lentils into the ashes of the hearth, so she had to sit there the entire day and separate them.
The entire day? And yet she had to do other chores. Man, these...
What a pain. At that point, I would just sweep up the ashes and the peas and the lentils and just toss them all out. In the evening, when she was tired, there was no bed for her, and she had to lie next to the hearth in the ashes. Since she always rummaged in dust and looked dirty, they named her Cinderella. At a certain time, the king decided to organize a magnificent ball that was to last 3 days, and his should have been 2 days. And his son was supposed to choose a bride at this event. The two proud stepsisters were also invited to it.
"Cinderella,"
they called to her,
"come up here, comb out our hair, brush our shoes, and fasten our buckles. We're going to see the prince at the ball."
Cinderella worked hard and cleaned and brushed as well as she could. However, the stepsisters continually scolded her, and when they had finished dressing, they asked her in a mocking tone,
"Cinderella, would you like to go to the ball?"
"Oh, yes," Cinderella replied, "but how can I go? I don't have any clothes."
"No,"
said the oldest daughter. "That's all we need for you to show up there. If the people heard that you were our sister, we'd be ashamed. You belong in the kitchen where there's a bowl full of lentils.
When we return, they must be sorted and take care that we don't find a bad one among them. Otherwise, you know what will happen to you."
These people eat a lot of lentils. After that, the stepsisters left, and Cinderella stood there and looked after them. And when she could no longer see them, she went sadly into the kitchen and shook the lentils onto the hearth, and they formed a very large pile.
"Oh," she sighed, and said, "I'll have to sort them until midnight,
and I won't be able to shut my eyes, no matter how much they may hurt. If my mother knew about this... Yeah, if your mother knew about this, this wouldn't be happening, because she'd still be alive. But your dad knows about it, and I don't know where he is. Then she knelt down in the ashes in front of the hearth and wanted to begin sorting. All at once, two white pigeons flew through the window and landed next to the lentils on the hearth. They nodded with their little heads and said,
Cinderella, would you like us to help you sort the lentils?
Yes, answered Cinderella. The good ones for the little pot, and the bad ones for your little crop. Pigeons, see, there are talking animals in the original fairy tale. It wasn't just Disney giving us hopes that the princess could talk to animals. It was totally real. Pigeons, though, are a little different than mice. But they say that pigeons are kind of the rats in New York, so maybe it's kind of the same thing. And peck, 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 peck. They began and ate the bad ones and let the good ones remain. And in a quarter of an hour, the lentils were so clean that there was not a bad one among them. And Cinderella could smooth them out in the little pot. Now the pigeon said to her,
Cinderella, if you want to see your sisters dance with the prince, then climb up to the pigeon coop.
Cinderella followed them and climbed to the top of the ladder of the pigeon coop and could see the ballroom from there. Well, I must be pretty close to the castle. That's fancy. Indeed, she could see her sisters dance with the prince, and a thousand chandeliers glittered and glistened before her eyes. And after she had seen enough, she climbed down the ladder. Her heart was heavy, and she laid herself down in the ashes and fell asleep. The next morning, the two sisters went into the kitchen, and when they saw that Cinderella had cleanly sorted the lentils, they were angry because they would have liked to have scolded her. They need a hobby. Since they couldn't do that, they began to tell her about the ball and said,
Cinderella, that was so much fun, especially the dance. The prince, who's the most handsome in the world, led us out onto the dance floor, and one of us will become his bride.
Yes, Cinderella said, I saw the chandelier's glimmer. That must have been splendid.
What? How did you manage that? The eldest sister asked.
I climbed up to the pigeon coop. When the sister heard this, she was filled with jealousy. Jealousy? They have a pigeon coop, like she would go in there. Cinderella just looked from afar. There's nothing to be jealous about. And she immediately ordered the pigeon coop to be torn down. Okay, that's really petty. Now Cinderella had to comb and clean again, and the youngest sister, who had a little sympathy in her heart, said,
Cinderella, when it turns dark, you can go to the ball and look in through the windows.
Ooh, you can go and look in through the windows. That's so nice.
No, said the eldest. That will only make her lazy. Here's a sack of sweet peas, Cinderella. Sort the good from the bad and work hard. If you don't have them sorted cleanly by tomorrow, then I'll spill them all into the ashes, and you'll have to starve until you fish them out of the ashes.
Cinderella sat down on the hearth in distress and poured the peas out of the sack. Then the pigeons flew into the kitchen once again and asked in a friendly way,
Cinderella, do you want us to sort the peas?
Yes, the good ones for the little pot. The bad ones for your little crop. Peck, 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 peck. It all went so quickly as if 12 hands were there. And when they were finished, the pigeon said,
Cinderella, do you want to go and dance at the ball?
Oh, she cried out, but how can I go there in my dirty clothes?
Go to the little tree on your mother's grave. Shake it and wish for clothes. However, you must return before midnight.
So Cinderella went to the grave, shook the little tree, and spoke. Shake and wobble, little tree, let beautiful clothes fall down on me. No sooner had she said all this than a splendid dress lay right before her, along with pearls, silk stockings, silver slippers, and everything else that belonged to her outfit. Cinderella carried everything into the house, and after she had washed herself and dressed herself, she was as beautiful as a rose washed by the dew. And when she stepped outside, a carriage stood there drawn by 6 black horses adorned with feathers. There were also servants dressed in blue and silver who helped her inside. Then off they galloped to the king's castle.
That's a pretty good deal. She shakes this tree. All she asked for, mind you, were beautiful clothes. And yet she gets a carriage and servants to take her there. This is, I mean, obviously, it's a magical tree. But it gives you more than you ask for, so that's really nice. Her mother's tree must have thought, you're only asking for a gown? I'm going to give you all this, because you're my daughter, and I love you.
Then off they galloped to the king's castle. When the prince saw the carriage come to a halt before the gate, he thought that a strange princess from afar had come traveling to the ball. So he himself went down the stairs, helped Cinderella out of the carriage, and led her into the ballroom. And when the glitter of the 4,000, oh, jeez, 4,000, what? 4,000 chandeliers fell upon her, she was so beautiful that everyone there was amazed. And the sisters also stood there and were annoyed that some other young lady was more beautiful than they. Yeah, because your wicked hearts show how ugly you are. If you're not pretty on the inside, not going to be pretty on the outside. However, they didn't think in the least that it might be Cinderella, who was presumably at home in the ashes. Now, the prince danced with Cinderella and showed her royal honor. As he danced, he thought to himself,
I'm supposed to choose a bride, and I know she's the only one for me.
On the other hand, Cinderella had lived for such a long time in ashes and sadness, and now she was in splendor and joy. But when midnight came, before the clock struck 12, she stood up and bowed goodbye. Even though the prince begged and begged, she refused to remain any longer. So the prince led her down the stairs. The carriage was below and waiting for her, and it drove off in splendor as it had come. When Cinderella arrived home, she went once again to the little tree on her mother's grave. Shake and wobble, little tree, take these clothes back from me. Then the tree took the clothes. How did the tree take the clothes? I mean, it's a magic tree. But I just kind of picture the tree from Pocahontas, the grandmother tree, just kind of reaching its branches down and taking everything. Then the tree took the clothes, and Cinderella had her gray smock on again. And she returned to the kitchen with it, put some dust on her face, and laid herself down to sleep. In the morning, the sisters came. They looked morose and kept quiet. Then Cinderella said, You must have had an enjoyable time last night.
No. A princess was there, and the prince almost always danced with her. Nobody had ever seen her or knew where she came from.
Was it perhaps that lady who arrived in the splendid carriage pulled by 6 black horses? Cinderella asked.
How do you know this?
As I was standing in the entrance to the house, I saw her drive by.
In the future, stay inside working.
Said the eldest sister, who looked angrily at Cinderella.
What business do you have to stand at the entrance to the house?
For a third time, Cinderella had to dress up the two sisters, and as a reward they gave her a bowl with peas that she was to sort.
And don't you dare to leave your work,
the eldest daughter cried out to her. These sisters. So far, it's not even the stepmother that's really been around. She was here in the beginning, and she was terrible then, but it's really these stepsisters who are the abusers in this story. Also, still, no father. He could totally put a stop to this, but nope, he's compliant. Cinderella thought, if only my pigeons will return. And her heart beat anxiously until the pigeons came as they had the previous night and said, Cinderella, do you want us to sort the peas? Yes, the good ones for the little pot. The bad ones for your little crop. Once more, the pigeons pecked the bad ones out, and once they were finished, they said, Cinderella, shake the little tree. It will throw down even more beautiful clothes. Go to the ball, but take care that you return before midnight. Cinderella went to her mother's grave. Shake and wobble, little tree. Let beautiful clothes fall down to me. Then a dress fell, and it was even more glorious and splendid than the previous one. It was made out of gold and precious gems. In addition, there were golden gusseted stockings and gold slippers. And after Cinderella was completely dressed, she glistened really like the sun at midday. A carriage drawn by 6 white horses that had plumes on their heads stopped in front of the house, and the servants were dressed in red and gold,
Ooh, everyone's getting a costume change.
When Cinderella arrived, the prince was already on the stairs and led her into the ballroom. And if everyone had been astonished by her beauty the day before, they were even more astounded this evening, and the sisters stood in a corner and were pale with envy.
Serves you right.
If they had known that it was Cinderella, who was supposed to be at home in the ashes, they would have died of envy. Now the prince wanted to know who the strange princess was, where she came from, and where she drove off to. So he had people stationed on the road, and they were to pay attention to her whereabouts. Moreover, he had the stairs painted with black pitch so that she wouldn't be able to run so fast.
Take note, boys. Don't want a girl to run from you? Slather the floor with pitch so she can't get away. That's a good takeaway from this story.
Also, has he not asked for her name at all?
That's one of the first things you do. You introduce yourself so that, you know, later down the line, when he's looking for her, he can find her. He can go around and say, hey, do you know so-and-so? I'm looking for her because I have her shoe. In all of the variations, they never ask for the name, and that would make everything so much easier later. You really can't love someone if you don't know their name. That's step one. Basics, guys. Basics.
Cinderella danced and danced with the prince and was filled with so much joy that she didn't think about midnight. All of a sudden, as she was in the middle of a dance, she heard the clock begin to strike, interrupting their jam. How rude! She was reminded of the pigeon's warning and was terrified, so she rushed to the door and flew down the stairs. However, since they were covered with pitch, one of her golden slippers got caught, and Cinderella didn't stop to take it with her out of fear. Indeed, just as she reached the last step of the stairs, the clock struck 12.
Cinderella was so determined to get out of there. Just one of her shoes got caught. It doesn't say that she got stuck for a little bit. She just booked it. Adrenaline kept her from getting fully stuck. I mean, she couldn't run as fast. It slowed her down a little bit. But still, the guards don't seem to be on top of it. If the prince purposefully put them on duty of keeping Cinderella from leaving the ball, you would think that they'd get there a little faster. They should be trained for that.
Consequently, the carriage and horses disappeared, and Cinderella stood in her gray smock on the dark road. In the meantime, the prince had rushed after her, and he found the golden slipper on the steps.
If they were dancing together, why was he not right behind her?
He pulled it from the pitch and carried it with him. But by the time he made it down the stairs, everything had disappeared. Even the people who had stood guard came and said that they had seen nothing.
Well, then you are terrible at your jobs. You had one job. One. Good job, guys. By that I mean bad job. You had one job.
Cinderella was glad that nothing worse had happened, and she went home. Once there, she turned on her dim oil lamp, hung it in the chimney, and laid herself down in the ashes. It didn't take long before the two sisters also returned and called out,
Cinderella, get up and light the way.
Cinderella yawned and pretended that she had been awakened from her sleep. As she showed them the way, she heard one of the sisters say,
God knows who the presumable princess is. If she were only in her grave, the prince danced just with her alone, and after she had gone, he didn't want to remain, and the entire ball came to an end. It was really as if all the lights had suddenly been blown out,
the other said.
Meanwhile, the prince was thinking, if everything else has gone wrong for you, now the slipper will help you find a bride.
Also, maybe if you had her name. Just saying.
So he had a proclamation announced and declared that whichever maiden's foot fit the golden slipper was to become his wife. Does he not even remember what her face looks like? The shoe could fit who knows how many people if she has a normal size foot. Maybe she has a really big foot. Maybe she has a really small foot. Also the possibility, the shoe is magic, will only fit Cinderella. But still, this prince has to have more than just a shoe. Gotta remember a face? Names help. But the slipper was much too small for anyone who tried it on. Oh, okay, I spoke too soon. Cinderella has really tiny feet. Indeed, many couldn't even slip their foot into the slipper and couldn't have done so even if the single slipper were two.
Okay, that's a really tiny foot. Like, really, really tiny. We'll say it's a magical slipper. Finally, it was the turn of the two sisters to take the test. They were glad because they had small, beautiful feet and believed that it couldn't go wrong for them and that the prince should have gone to them right away.
Listen, said the mother secretly. Here's a knife, and if the slipper is still too tight for you, then cut off a piece of your foot. It will hurt a bit.
A bit? A bit. Yeah, I'm sure it'll hurt a little bit.
But what does that matter? It will soon pass, and one of you will become queen.
Moral of the story, ladies. Change yourself for a man, even if it means cutting off a foot. So the eldest sister went into the chamber and tried on the slipper. Her toe slipped inside, but her heel was too large. So she took the knife and cut off a part of her heel until she could force her foot into the slipper. Oh, that's just so gross. Then she went out of the chamber to the prince. So they even get to try these shoes on in private? I mean, that seems a little weird. And when he saw that he had the slipper on her foot, he said that she was to be his bride. So he really doesn't remember what Cinderella looks like. Nowhere was there mention of a mask. It could have been a masquerade ball. I don't know. But really? Don't remember anything about her appearance. Spend 2 days with her, claim to be in love. This does not bode well for the future. Then he led her to his carriage and wanted to drive off. However, when he came to the gate, the pigeons were above and called out, "Looky, look, look at the shoe that she took. There's blood all over, and the shoe's too small. She's not the bride that you met at the ball." The prince leaned over and saw that blood was spilling out of the slipper, and he realized that he had been deceived. Oh! So he brought the false bride back to the house. However, the mother said to her second daughter,
"Take the slipper, and if it's too short for you, then cut off one of your toes."
So the sister took the slipper into her chamber, and since her foot was too large, she bit her lips and cut off a large part of her toes. Then she quickly slipped her foot into the slipper and came out of her chamber. Since the prince thought she was the right bride, he wanted to drive off with her. However, when he came to the gate, the pigeons called out again, "Looky, look, look at the shoe that she took. There's blood all over, and the shoe's too small. She's not the bride you met at the ball." The prince looked down and saw that the stockings of the bride were colored red and that her blood was streaming out of the slipper. So that prince brought her to her mother and said,
"She too is not the right bride. But is there another daughter in your house?" "No," said the mother. "There's just a nasty Cinderella. She sits below in the ashes. I'm sure the slipper won't fit her."
The mother didn't want to have her summoned, but the prince demanded that she do so. Therefore, Cinderella was alerted, and when she heard that the prince was there, she washed her face and hands quickly so that they were fresh and clean. When she entered the room, she curtsied.
Then the prince handed her the golden slipper and said, "Try it on. If it fits, you'll become my wife."
So Cinderella is literally standing right in front of him and he doesn't recognize her. So Cinderella took off the heavy shoe from her left foot and put this foot into the golden slipper. And after she pressed a bit, her foot fit as though the slipper had been made for her, because it had. And when she stood up, the prince looked at her face and recognized the beautiful princess once again and cried, "This is the right bride." Okay, now he recognizes her. Sure, I believe that. The stepmother and the two haughty daughters were horrified and became pale, but the prince led Cinderella away. He helped her into the carriage, and as they drove off through the gate, the pigeons called out, "Looky, look, look, there's no blood at all. The golden shoe's a perfect fit. She's truly the bride you met at the ball." The end.
Many fairy tales have a moral to their story. I would like to give you mine. If you are good and kind, and with a little help, you will get your happily ever after, and altering your appearance won't secure you a mate. Except when it does. Today's story was read from the book, The Complete First Edition, The Original Folk and Fairy Tales of the Brothers Grimm,
translated and edited by Jack Zipes. This Cinderella story comes from the original Brothers Grimm collection that was published in 1812 and 1815. The Brothers Grimm made many, many edits to all of their fairy tales, trying to find a voice, and they inserted different themes and different plots, different characters, removed some things. They've changed a lot of things over their lifetime. The very last version was published in 1857, and that one has quite a lot of differences to it. And it fills in some holes that the original story had, like where Cinderella's father was. Do the stepsisters get their comeuppance? And the answer is, yes, they do, and it's awesome. Some of the differences include the father being more of a presence. He's still a rich gentleman, and he goes to visit a fair, and he asks his daughters what they want him to bring them back. Of course, the stepdaughters say that they want pearls and gold and diamonds and all of these luxurious things, but Cinderella wants the first twig to knock his hat off on the way. So her father ends up bringing her the twig of a hazel tree. And Cinderella plants this tree over her mother's grave, and her tears, again, water it. That's no different than this story. And it grows into a hazel tree. And the girl prays under it 3 times a day. This time, the animals that help Cinderella are white pigeons, and many, many other birds come and help her so that she has more help than just the two. Cinderella begs to go to the festival, but her stepmother refuses because she has no decent dress to wear and no shoes. And the stepmother says that if she insists that she go, she must complete these tasks in 2 hours. Cinderella accomplishes this with the help of all of the birds. The stepmother, being a terrible person, throws even more food into the ashes and gives her an even greater task. So, obviously, Cinderella is not able to go to the festival with her stepmother, stepsisters, and father. The father, in this version, is still a terrible, terrible father. He's in it more, but he refers to Cinderella as the daughter of his first wife, and that she's deformed, and she's unclean and unpresentable to the prince when the prince comes looking for maidens to try the shoe on. In the later version of Cinderella, when she leaves the ball to evade the prince, she jumps into a pigeon coop. And that parallels the original one where Cinderella goes into a pigeon coop to watch the ball. But this time it makes a little more sense why it's knocked down. The next day, the prince comes to the father, and the prince asks him to chop the pigeon coop down to find Cinderella in it, but she's already gone. So now the pigeon coop is gone, and it makes a little more sense than the original. Then the next day, to elude the prince, Cinderella climbs up into a tree. And again, the prince comes to the father, and the father is thinking, this can't possibly be Cinderella. The prince thinks that this maiden is my daughter. So the prince has the father cut down the pear tree, and Cinderella is not in it. In this version, the stepsisters still cut off part of their foot to fit into the shoe, and it's still super gross. But still, the prince is fooled every time. How does he not realize? They're not even biological sisters, so they don't have similar features. That would make a little more sense if, you know, they were really close or twins or something like that. But no, they're stepfamily, so they don't look alike, and yet he thinks that they're the maiden because their foot fits in the shoe. I will give a little credit to the prince, because when Cinderella and him are dancing at the ball and she says that she needs to go home, he lets her go and he escorts her. He tries to keep her, but, you know, he's like, okay, well, I'll take you home. That is very nice, mannerly, not aggressive in his character. So I will give him a little credit there. But dude, still, you have to remember what the girl you're dancing with for a couple of days looks like. That is one thing that I still don't understand. Maybe because when he's trying the shoe on all of these people and she's dirty and she doesn't look as royal and as lavish as at the ball, He doesn't really look at her because aristocrats and princes and kings don't notice the servants. They never pay attention to them. So he didn't really get a good look at Cinderella in her ashen face state. Now, finally, the thing that I feel the original is most missing is a punishment for the stepsisters for being so terrible to Cinderella. And in this later version, they get their eyes plucked out by the birds that were helping Cinderella out. So because they were mean to Cinderella, they were rendered blind. And they had their eyes plucked out at Cinderella's wedding. At Cinderella's wedding, the two white birds sat on either shoulder and then flew off, pecked out the sister's eyes, and flew back. Maybe the birds held Cinderella's veil or train a la Disney. Maybe that's where Disney got it from. But this Grimm's Brother version was not the version that Disney got their inspiration from. That is a different version, not even written by the Brothers Grimm. Shout out to That's My Story podcast for correctly guessing this week's story based on the clue I posted on Instagram. Follow the podcast on Instagram and Twitter at Mythical Podcast. If you have a fairy tale or myth that you would like read aloud, please email the show at mythicalthepodcast@gmail.com. I'm always looking for new stories and would love to hear which ones you enjoy the most. Thank you for joining me today. I hope you enjoyed today's story, and I will be back next week with a new fairy tale. I'm the narrator, and this is Mythical.